Species. Unite.
What they always say, or what they have always said when they create these farms, is we're going to preserve the species and we're going to help conservation of these species because the fishing will be reduced. If there's farms, then people won't have to fish anymore. That has never happened.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Novogratz. This is Species Unite. We have a favor to ask. If you like today's episode and you have a spare minute, could you please rate and review Species Unite on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts? It really helps people to find the show. This conversation is with Catalina Lopez. Catalina is the director of the Aquatic Animal Alliance at the Aquatic Life Institute. They're a nonprofit focused on improving the lives of aquatic animals, especially those in the food system. I wanted to talk to Catalina about octopuses. This year, we are set to see the world's first octopus factory farm open in the Canary Islands. And this is a terrible idea for so many reasons, from animal welfare to what it's going to do to the planet.
My name is Catalina Lopez. I am the director of the Aquatic Animal Alliance at the Aquatic Life Institute. We're a nonprofit organization focused on improving the lives of aquatic animals, specifically in the food system. And the Aquatic Animal Alliance is a coalition of over 130 organizations around the world that, you know, have that same goal, working for aquatic animals. I am a veterinarian by trade. I am from Colombia, but I've been living in Mexico for about 8 years now. And I've been in the animal protection movement for about 5 years now. Previously, I was at Mercy for Animals working with cage-free campaigns.
The more we can see ourselves in certain animals, the more we like them, the less we want to cause them pain. And that's kind of how our psyches work. Now it's aquatic animals, which get way too little attention across the board. And there's more of them than, you know, any animal that is killed for food. So many more of them than anybody else. And right. They still get so little attention. And I think even a lot of people who really like animals are still unaware that they have sentience, that they're intelligent, that they have lives. It's so much easier not to see them that way, I think, for so many people.
That's exactly what led me to this because, you know, I was working in cage-free campaigns, working with hens. And, you know, I was thinking, like, you know, all these animal protection organizations are working to improve the lives of hens. But, you know, in the end, the amount of individuals suffering in the oceans and, you know, aquatic bodies is so much larger. And I didn't see anyone doing anything about it. And I was like, we need to address this because it's the animals, but it's the environment, it's the ocean, it's public health, it's the community. So there's a lot tied to the oceans and aquatic animals. So I was like, okay, I want to get involved in this. And this opportunity came up and I was like, I need to try it. And this is very new, like even in the animal protection space, like very few organizations around the world work specifically for aquatic animals in the food system. You know, it's still the case that people think about salmon as a fish, like swimming in the ocean, but as a piece of meat in the supermarket, right? So it's just, there's a huge like gap between even like for activists in the movement, like to think about fish and the consequences of that part of the food system. So yeah, I was very excited to join and there's just, I've learned so much. There's so much to do. There's like a whole world of possibilities for activists to do in this space. So yeah, it's been an exciting 2 years.
I had Jonathan Balcombe, do you know Jonathan Balcombe? Yes. Who wrote What a Fish Knows on a year or two ago. And I mean, I read his book, so I knew, you know, like all the things about fish in his book, which are endless examples of how intelligent some fish are, how sentient, and like how they find all this stuff out. And it's like incredible, the stuff about fish that I think, unless you've read his book or a book like it, I don't think most people have any idea that they have these whole worlds of their own.
It's a world that we don't really understand just because it's so different from ours. Most people are removed from that world. Like, they're not in the ocean swimming with the fish. Like, that's not a possibility for most people. So it's hard for people to connect with fish. They're also very different in many ways from humans. So, you know, they won't express pain like we do, like crying or screaming, which is why some people connect with other mammals. They're like, oh, they cry like us, so they're clearly in pain. But fish, you know, they experience the world in a different way, so it's hard for us to make that connection sometimes, but it's there, and they feel pain, and they have lives, and they have, you know, societies, and they interact with each other in many different ways. But also, they're very important for the ecosystem. Like, every species matters.
But what fascinates me is, in the past few years, an animal that we're probably less like than we are fish is octopus. We've fallen in love with them culturally. Like, everybody seems to like be in love with them because of movies like My Octopus Teacher and books that have come out in the past few years. It's really changed the game for them in that sense, in how we feel about them, which is really cool because they're really nothing like us. But as a globe, we're eating way more than ever, and it's going up. And so enter octopus factory farming, which has never existed before until now. Will you talk about like how this came about and where we are with it?
It's very interesting what you say about like how our attention has been focused on octopus, but that hasn't really translated to like a reduction in consumption. And I think that's because, you know, people are very disconnected from the food that they eat. Like, they don't make the connection of the animal that it's coming from. So when they eat octopus, they don't realize like, okay, what lies behind that, right? Octopus are fascinating. Of course, everyone's obsessed with them. Like, they're like these aliens of the ocean that have like superpowers. Maybe that's why we're so fascinated by them. They're just so different. There's something that like you change colors. Like, that's so cool. So, you know, that's great. And that can help us educate people, like make that connection, help people make that connection. I think is really important. Inspire them to make changes in their choices. But, you know, like what has happened is that, of course, demand has grown, and demand has grown for all seafood, really. You know, people are eating four times more seafood than they did 50 years ago. It's a myriad of factors. Like, doctors recommended, like, oh, you need to quit meat, beef, because it's bad for your body, but eat fish, you know. So it has changed like the way we consume food, and that's part of it. Also, you know, the globalization of trade. It's easier for someone to, you know, eat octopus now because imports from other countries can get wherever, whereas maybe if octopus aren't part of the ecosystem of your country before, people couldn't really eat it unless they traveled, right? So, you know, there are a lot of different reasons why this has increased. But, you know, what this has caused is like it has put pressure on the wild populations, of course, because if demand grows, then supply grows, and there are more fishermen will want to get more octopus to get more money, right? So, of course, what happens is that they start fishing octopus or other animals faster than they can recover, and the populations start dwindling, right? The wild populations. And when that has happened with other species, the solution that humans came up with is farms, right? Industrialized production. Of that species. And that is a very problematic in aquaculture because, first of all, these are wild animals. So, you know, domestication of land animals is thousands of years old. Like, they've been with human thousands of years. So they are domesticated. They are used to human presence. But, you know, farms for sea animals weren't really common until, 50 years ago. So they're not used to humans. They're not used to this type of exploitation, let's say. So these are wild animals, basically. And that has a lot of problems in terms of welfare, because how can you create the conditions that allow the animals to have good welfare if these are wild animals? And, you know, some of the conditions for these animals are just like impossible to recreate. Like salmon, like swim hundreds and thousands of miles in their lives. How are you going to recreate that in a farm? Like you just can't. We also decided to farm species depending on what people liked, and, you know, chose some species that are just not apt, like carnivorous species like salmon, for example. Like you need to feed the salmon other fish to be able to farm it. That's very unsustainable. So, you know, these decisions to farm aquatic animals weren't done with like all the proper background. And what that has caused is a bunch of problems for other species that have been farmed for many years now, like salmon, for example, or shrimp. They create issues with the local ecosystems because diseases are transferred from the farm to the wild species. It creates a lot of problem with predators. So, for example, birds that try to steal the fish. So, you know, they have to control the birds. There's a lot of waste, which produce a lot of pollution. I don't know if you've heard of dead zones, yeah. But these are parts of the ocean or aquatic bodies where there's so much waste that nothing can grow there because there's no oxygen anymore. You know, in this case, what they always say, or what they have always said when they create these farms, is we're going to preserve the species and we're going to help conservation of these species because the fishing will be reduced. If there's farms, then people won't have to fish anymore. That has never happened in reality. What happens is the demand grows for the same species, so fishing continues to grow. And that is the argument right now for creating an octopus farm is, okay, wild populations of octopus are dwindling, they're reducing around the world. So let's create farms and that will help conserve the species. It doesn't work like that. And, you know, because it also creates other problems. So for example, for salmon farms, what has happened is that the diseases that I mentioned that are very common in farms because the animals are stressed, they're overcrowded, and that leads to disease, then that has transferred to the wild species of salmon, and it has increased the endangerment of these species. And this has been reported around the world. So this is what will happen with octopus too, despite what you know, the industry may say right now. And you know, the problem that you face right now is that there isn't any evidence for it because there aren't any farms. But we know what happens because other species have been farmed. You know, that's just one of the reasons why we are so against these farms. Octopus are carnivorous as well. So they would need also to be fed other animals, which makes it like very, very unsustainable. They're solitary animals. They don't like to hang around with a bunch of other octopus, and they're being put in these small tanks with other octopus. These leads to aggression and cannibalism. Of course, they're not used to it. This is in their environment. They're in barren tanks. There's nothing in the tanks that resembles their natural environment where they have like places to hide and places to, you know, just like express their natural behaviors, right? That is very hard to replicate in a farm, especially the magnitude of the farm that is being planned in Spain, for example.
For the farm in Spain and the Canary Islands, which will be the first, they are going to raise like 1 million octopuses a year. Is that what it is?
Yes, that's their plan. It's unthinkable, really, like what kind of conditions that would create for the octopus. For example, there isn't today a humane way to slaughter an octopus. Like that is not something that has been found. Like they're either put in ice slurry, which is like ice bath, basically. That doesn't kill the octopus. It just like paralyzes them. It doesn't stun them. It doesn't kind of anesthetize them. It just paralyzes them. They can't move, but they're suffering and they're dying right there. They also use like horrible methods, just like slamming them and hitting them to kill them, or like eviscerating them. There isn't a way to stun them. And for example, in the EU, animals have to be stunned before they're slaughtered because they shouldn't be conscious when they die. It's a minimal welfare requirement. And that's not possible for octopus. Like that just, that technology doesn't exist. And, you know, there was a report from Compassion and World Farming and Uruguay for Animals that showed that this farm in Canary Islands is using the ice slurry method.
So they just freeze them. So they're just kind of frozen, but they're totally conscious.
They're paralyzed. And it takes hours and hours for them to die in those conditions. They just like stop breathing basically because they can't breathe. They're just paralyzed while that happens. So it's a terrible, awful death for the animals. But also they live horrible lives because they're just in those tanks all their lives. Also, another concern is octopus are like escape masters. Like from aquariums around the world, they somehow managed to escape through like tiny little holes that nobody ever envisioned, and they end up in pipes, or they just like, where is the octopus? They can't find it. So that's another concern. Like they can escape these farms, and what's going to happen with these like octopus that escape and go out into the ecosystem? Like they may have diseases, they may have a lot of issues. Octopus are also potentially dangerous for humans that handle them. They're all venomous. So, you know, there have been instances where, you know, people get bitten by an octopus and they get gangrenes and stuff like that. So it's very dangerous animal to manage and to handle. Like, I don't really, it's just such a bad idea in every way.
And a million of them. That's an enormous number.
And also the farm where it's planned to be, it's like 700 meters from a protected area in the Canary Islands of the ocean. So where, you know, they're trying to maintain the species because the Canary Islands, of course, is a tourist destination and, you know, they want to conserve their species. But, you know, the farm claims and the company claims that, you know, that's not going to affect in 700 meters in the ocean. How can you control like the waste, the effluents that are going into this space? So they can't control it. They're also claiming because they had to apply for permits to establish this farm. And we were able to see all the documents of their plans and, you know, how are they going to manage these farms. And one of the statements that they made in these documents is that octopus don't get diseases. They just don't get sick. So, you know, we won't use any antibiotics. And it's just like, there's a book that you know, we reference in our reports. It's like the Handbook of Diseases of the Octopus and Other Cephalopods. And it's like, they list 200 diseases that potentially could be zoonotic or problematic for other species. Zoonotic is that they could pass from the octopus to humans, but also to other species, not only humans. They list 200 diseases, and somehow the Canary Islands farm won't have any diseases, even though every factory farm in the world uses antibiotics because animals get sick. That's how it is.
Especially confined animals are just passing disease from animal to animal.
Exactly. They're not being truthful. And because there isn't a precedent, because this hasn't happened before, they can say that. But, you know, then it's going to be like, oh, oops, actually, yes, they do have diseases and we've had to use this massive amount of antibiotics. Aquaculture is actually one of the animal industries that uses the most antibiotics currently. So, you know, it's just kind of normal to think that that's going to be the case with these farms as well.
Will you explain what it looks like where the octopuses actually live? I just can't picture it.
In the farm?
Yeah.
Yeah. So these are like very, you know, small tanks, really. It depends on like kind of the size of the octopus or their stage in growth, let's say. So for example, we did an investigation in an existing farm in Mexico. This is a smaller farm in terms of, you know, the number of animals. So it's not a huge commercial farm like this one.
It's not like a factory farm yet.
Yes. It's like a small version of a factory farm. They have like around, you know, 1,000 octopus per cycle, right? So what they do is they have like 4 different stages of tanks. So they keep the juveniles, like recently hatched octopus in one tank, and then after a couple of months, they move it to another. As they grow, they start to separate them. The juveniles actually are the most aggressive of them all. So that's when they see the most cannibalism and aggressive behavior when they're juveniles. So in the first couple of months of their lives. And these farm actually reports a 50% mortality rate, which is absurd. Like 50% of the octopus in this farm die before they're even slaughtered to go to the market, right? That's absurd and outrageous. Like that is not acceptable in any ways. And also it's like so unsustainable for a farm and a producer. Like why would you want to have, you know, a business that loses 50% of the merchandise, let's say, in you know, the process. But so then, yeah, they move them from tank to tank. And, you know, at least in the Mexico farm, they use like some sort of enrichment. So they put like rocks and like tubes and things that simulate like their normal environment. But of course, like it's very different. And finally they just take them out for slaughter. That's how it works. However, this is a very small scale operation. Yeah. So to transfer that into, you know, a million octopus, like just imagine how it's going to be. So it's like these giant tanks in the coast of the Canary Islands, really is a port. And they've like the plans of the farm say that it's going to be like different tanks for different stages of growth.
Multiple octopuses in the same tank.
Yes, a lot of octopus in the same tank.
They will kill each other then.
They will kill each other. That's a fact. And it's going to happen. Why are we doing this? Like, these species aren't meant to be in a tank with other octopus. So, you know, it's just like, it's not a good idea for the producers either. It's a terrible idea for the animals, for the environment, and for public health, but it's really bad for them. And, you know, they've been trying to get this farm up and running for like 12 years, and they still haven't been able to do it. And it's just because it's so problematic. Like, there's so many issues related to it because these animals aren't meant to be farmed. They're difficult animals. Sure. That's why we love them, because they're like, you know, they have their own rules. So, like, we shouldn't farm them. They shouldn't farm them. It's not good for business.
Is the plan for them to open this year?
That's been their plan for a while, but they still don't have the permits. Because they still haven't been able to answer all the questions from the environmental agencies and, you know, what they need to have before they start operating. So that was their plan to start this year. But from what we know, as far as we are aware, they still haven't gotten the permits and the farm is still not operational.
What about the farm in Mexico? Are they selling those octopus for food?
They do. They sell them to local like restaurants and hotels. At first, this was like an idea to help like the local fisher people because the populations of octopus in the region is dwindling as well. So, you know, they were concerned about the fisher people there, try to give them an income. But at the same time, they say that they don't compete with the fisher people. This is just so terrible, because what they do is, so Mexico has rules on how you can fish octopus, like when you can fish octopus to protect the populations that, you know, that should be able to replenish, right? So you can't catch octopus up to a certain weight. Right? So it's like 400 grams. So if you catch an octopus that's less than 400 grams, you have to return it to the ocean. But this farm grows octopus that are 200 grams. So it's a different market according to them. And what they do is sell it to restaurants as like a premium baby octopus product. And these are like high-end tourist targeted restaurants. These are not to feed the local population. But there could be very, very serious issues for the local population if diseases from this farm transferred to the local population of octopus that they rely on for survival, because these communities rely on this to survive. It's like their income source is what they eat. So this poses a major threat for that. So instead of improving, the food security of the region, this farm is a threat to the food security of the region and just like creates more food for tourists. So it's not a solution to the problem.
Are the local populations protesting it or against it?
The interesting part of this farm in Mexico is that the media has always covered it as this is an amazing idea. This is great. Mexico's a pioneer in this aspect. Like, this is going to save the octopus maya, which is like the species that is farmed in Mexico, or at least in that part of Mexico, the Yucatan Peninsula. So the coverage and I think the narrative that they have been sharing with the local community is that it's amazing and it's going to be great for everyone. So that has been part of our work. It's like, no, actually, the truth is this is a very bad idea for everyone. And, you know, we just need you to be aware of it. So that's kind of part of our work right now, is creating this awareness campaign of like, no, actually, the farm has all these issues. This is how they can harm the local communities. And, you know, the most concerning part of it is that this farm is ran by the biggest university in Mexico, the UNAM, Universidad Nacional Autónoma de México, which is the largest university in Latin America. They're, you know, of course, they're leaders in research and, you know, every aspect of education in the region. And they are the ones leading this project. So, you know, we have contacted them, highlighting all the issues related to this farm, because, you know, they should actually be focusing on strategies that help the local population and help conserve the Octopus Maya in its environments. But this isn't it. Like, this is not the solution. That's kind of our kind of first steps with this investigation in Mexico, is, you know, raising awareness of why this isn't the solution to any problem related to octopus.
When will we learn that animals in captivity, whether it's for food or for like exhibit or anything, do not help the same animals in the wild? It just doesn't, it never has in any situation. It just doesn't. But yet that is the story for so many bad situations, right? That's the narrative.
It's not translatable to actual conservation. And, you know, this farm is the same. It will be the same. And it will actually create more problems for the local population. So that's what's the most concerning about it.
This farm in Mexico that's up and running, even though it's small, it works, like, quote unquote, right? Is this the only one in the world that's actually up and running?
That we know of. There was another in Hawaii that got shut down a few months ago. For now, they're trying to get a permit, but we don't know how that's going to work. We know there's research going on in Japan with squid, but that's not operational either. It's just research for now. As far as we are aware, this is the only operational one at present.
Has this never come up before, like the past decade or so, because it's just so hard to do? Is that why people have just resisted doing it?
Like, these research center in Mexico, they've been trying to do this for 15 years. So they've been experimenting with octopus for all this time to get them to complete the cycle. And even they haven't been able to complete it, which means that what they do is they grab pregnant females from the local environment, the ocean around the farm. Then they harvest the eggs from them, and then they slaughter the females, and they do have an incubator. So they use that incubator to get the eggs, and then they, you know, get the rest of the octopus from there. But they haven't been able to reproduce like the octopus.
There's no breeding happening there.
No. In the Canary Island, they supposedly achieved that. So they have completed the cycle. That's what they say. But it's just very difficult. So this is why they've been trying for 15 years. And this farm in Mexico that has been trying for 15 years still has a 50% mortality rate after this long. That should be a sign that this is a terrible idea. Just stop trying and stop, you know, experimenting on these animals. Like, we may need just to, like, deter octopus consumption, maybe, you know, investigate cultivated meat options of octopus, like other options, so people can still consume it if they want, but that is not detrimental for the animal or the species. Plant-based alternatives are great. So why doesn't Mexico and UNAM instead create an alternative of octopus for, you know, that is plant-based or other origins? So that's kind of what we need to think about, instead of like, oh, well, this animal is going extinct in the wild, let's farm it. You know, I think that just doesn't work. We have proven that doesn't work. So we need to change the narrative.
This is one issue that it's not just like animal rights, animal welfare people who are screaming about. It's scientists, it's conservationists, it's environmentalists. Like, there is a huge circle of, you know, people all over the world that are fighting this. Yet it seems like it's going to happen.
There's still a chance, and we're fighting, and we will keep fighting even if it starts operating. Fortunately, there is a lot of outrage and a lot of support for this campaign against these farms. For example, there's a petition right now that has almost 1 million signatures from around the world. Like, people really don't want this to happen. So, you know, we need to make it for these companies for it to be uncomfortable and not profitable for them, right? So part of our campaign is, one, working with policymakers around the world. So can we ban the production of octopus around the world? So, you know, there's, for example, a petition with the Canadian government right now asking them to ban production in Canada, but also ban the import of octopus from farms as well to Canada. There's also a bill in Washington that's being discussed. It will resume next year, you know, the discussion for this bill, but it's still, you know, still pending, let's say. Then we're also working with certification companies. As you know, these are like the companies that put the seals on the products. They're very, you know, big in seafood in general. And we work with them already in terms of other aquatic species like salmon and shrimp and et cetera. So we're asking them to like basically say we're not ever going to certify an octopus farm just because it would never meet our standards of welfare. And finally, our next kind of step in this campaign is asking companies in the food system, so supermarkets and restaurants, hotels, etc., to just say that they won't ever like sell or purchase octopus from farms. And that helps because that just sends a message to the producers. It's like, okay, maybe this won't be profitable for me. And this is what moves them anyway. Like what moves those producers and why they're doing it is because they're going to make money. So if it's going to be difficult for them to make money, maybe they will stop. So that's kind of what we need to work on now while the industry is small and we can do something about it rather than when there's thousands and thousands of farms around the world and it's a huge problem.
That's why it's so important what you're doing, because right now I am sure there are so many companies waiting to see what happens with the Canary Islands. If they're successful or if they're profitable, it's going to be horrible. And so the more you can do and everyone else can do now to stop a lot of this before it starts is huge success.
Yes. And honestly, like everyone can help, like signing petitions and sharing actions. And, you know, we're constantly doing actions around the world. Like today, for example, we're doing a tweet storm in Mexico against these farms. So, you know, there's always something going on. So support that because your voice does matter. And, you know, hopefully we can get some of these bans in place. And if, you know, a jurisdiction or a country starts, then it's much easier for you to go to another country and say, look, this country did it, you should do it for these reasons. So, you know, we just need those precedents set. And that's kind of where we're starting to see progress. So hopefully in the next year, we'll see something like that. And, you know, keep pressuring those that are still planning to do it to deter them from doing so.
Absolutely. Catalina, thank you so much. This is I don't want to say this is great because it's terrible, but you're great.
Thank you for having me.
To learn more about Catalina, to learn more about the Aquatic Life Institute, go to our website. We will have links to everything. We are on Facebook and Instagram at Species Unite. If you have a spare moment and could do us a favor, please subscribe, rate, review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. It really helps people find the show. If you'd like to support the podcast, we'd greatly appreciate it. Go to our website, speciesunite.com, and click donate. I'd like to thank everyone at Species Unite, including Gary Knutson, Caitlin Pierce, Amy Jones, Paul Healy, Santina Polke, Ayana Peoples, Olivia Deming, and Anna Kallner, who wrote and performed today's music. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful day.